Thank you. Good morning. It's another Haiti announcement. Just want to thank you so much for our chicken barbecue, how successful that was last week, and for that Haiti donation wall that we have out in the narthex. I know we're getting envelopes flowing in, so I just want to thank you all who are contributing to that. And I want to remind you also that it is out there, and if you are able to take an envelope, that would be awesome. We would greatly appreciate that. If you're not able, just your prayers, prayers that we can raise the funds. We're still needing another $16,000 is what we're still hoping to raise. And we do need that those funds by the end of October just to order the food over there, send our deposit to the base. So just lots of prayers for the funds to come flowing in would be so wonderful. The funds are to food. We're going to do a VBS over there. We're going to visit the prison, hoping to visit an orphanage as well. We have a very busy week over there. If any of that sounds interesting to you, the trip is not closed. If you wish to join, it's not too late. You may gladly contact me. Also, I just wanted to let you know, we're hoping to put a box in the narthex next week and we'll put it in the bulletin, be asking for donations for various items like soap that we can hand out at the prison. I know we're getting toothbrushes, which will be awesome. So just that to look forward to. Thank you again for everything.
An announcement for the women and the men. The women will be meeting at Ashley's home tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. The men, we need your help. Please contact Bud if you're able to help. Here comes Bud now, and he would like to make an announcement concerning Saturday and Lloyd Moyer's and Naomi's estate sale, as well as the men's ministry, what will be happening with that. So we welcome Bud to the pulpit to share that announcement.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Just get tied up with fellowshipping, and that's important. Speaking of fellowshipping, this Saturday coming up is Lloyd, as Pastor Matt said, it is Lloyd Moyer's auction over at Camp Sotera. Not only does that give us the men of the men's ministry here at Los Sotera a chance to fellowship with other Christians and other people, it also gives us an opportunity to help out a family in need. So we're looking for runners, and we're looking for people to help park cars. If you are interested, please contact me. My numbers are, you're gonna find pink slips like this. I know mine's white. The color ran out. So if you get the opportunity, just give me a call and let me know you're interested in helping. I appreciate it, thank you.
And again, just to refer you to the bulletin for any further announcements this morning. Anyone else have an announcement they would like to make this morning? It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And we just thank again everyone for being here this morning. And let's just have a word of prayer, and then we'll enter into our time of worship with our opening hymn. Father, we want to thank you for gathering us here in this place. Father, you know exactly the week that we've been through. Father, you know the difficulties that are going on in our lives. And Father, we're just coming here to this place, and we're asking you to just move in our midst. We know through our worship, Lord, that we surrender to you, and we're just asking your will to be accomplished in our lives. And we thank you for each one that's present here this morning. Any visitors here this morning, we are so thankful for them and pray your blessings upon them. And we just gather together to proclaim your great name, knowing that indeed we have a mighty fortress in our God. And we thank you for your presence in this place. Amen. Please rise for our opening hymn, number 165, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We have many students in our congregation who will be going back to school in a few weeks, in a week, or some college students who have already gone back to school. We have teachers in our congregation, and I was reminded in first service, we also have bus drivers, and we want to keep all of them in prayer. So if you're a student, or you're a teacher, or you're a bus driver, or involved in the school system in any way whatsoever, we just ask you to just raise your hands real quick. And if you see the hands around you, we would just ask you to just kind of put your hand out towards them. We know they're heading back to school or continuing in their at-home school programs. And we are just so blessed to have students and teachers and bus drivers and faculty and staff involved in schools among us. And we just want to pray a blessing upon them, as well as sharing any joys and concerns. So keep in mind those students and teachers and faculty and staff, as well as the joys and concerns, that we'll have a microphone coming around if anyone has to share. So if you have a joy or concern, we invite you to just raise your hand, and Kenny will bring the microphone for you to share with us so we can all hear.
Cool. I think we should pray for the people in Louisiana and Texas and those wildfires out west also.
Yes.
I was going to sneak this in for announcements, but that got bypassed, so I'll offer it up as a prayer. Please remember the country fair this Saturday, and you may put in a little bit of an extra prayer there for that we have fair weather. Some years we've had some problems with that. Please pray for the success, and the money goes to both crop and the local food pantry. So come on out, have a good time, and support the country fair, and say those prayers this week for fair weather. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
I just want to thank everyone for praying for baby Grayson. This Thursday, he was transferred to a step down, basically a rehab home, where his parents can now live in the same room as him. So they're all living there. Mom and dad are providing his care, and they have nurses just up the hall if they need anything. So he's doing really well.
Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a round of applause for what he's doing in baby Grayson's life and so many other lives here at Little Swatara. Amen. Thank
you. We were just notified that my brother-in-law, Pete Delp, has been diagnosed with lung cancer, so we need prayers for him.
Again, just invite you to reach your hands towards those students and teachers, and then we'll go into our time of prayer, knowing God's presence is here with us and throughout the rest of our lives as we go through daily struggles and we face adversities, and in the victories, we know God is indeed there. Father, again, thank you for bringing us to this place. This place we call Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. We are so thankful for each person here today, and we just pray, Father, your blessing upon them. You know precisely what's going on in their lives, and we pray, Father, that you would move in their midst, that you would allow us to struggle in our faith and be able to find you amidst that struggle. And Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters that reach out and think of the country fair, and we're just praying, Father, in Jesus' name, you would allow the weather to be good and just allow that community outreach to serve in the way that it's designed to do, and to reach the food pantry and the other events that it helps to support. And we just thank you, God, for the country fair. We think of Louisiana and Texas and the struggle they're enduring right now, the adversity they're facing, and we pray, Father, that you would just send relief. You would allow believers and people across the world to be able to support it in whichever way they feel possible, whether it's physical help or whether sending money. Father, we know we have opportunities to serve our neighboring states, and we just ask, Father, that you would just move in that situation. And we just thank you, God, for baby Grayson. We're just celebrating with his family that they're able to be reunited in a room where they can care for one another together. And we're just thankful for what you're doing in that family's life. And we just pray, Father, for Pete with the lung cancer that's recently been diagnosed. We know, Father, that you are the master physician. And we don't take that lightly, for we know when we pray according to your will that your healing can take place. And Father, if it be your will for Pete to be cured, to be given a miracle that lung cancer no longer exists, Father, we'll praise you in either situation, but be with Pete and be with his family as they go through this time. We think, Lord, of those on our prayer list, and Catherine and Ruth and Fred and Orwin and Annetta and Carl and Faye and Glenn and Grace and Bob and Wendy Lingle family and Bonnie and Schwenken family and many others that aren't even mentioned. And Lord, you are so present in our lives, and you comfort us when we're grieving. You give us strength when we're struggling. And we just pray, Father, whatever it is that we need right now in this moment, you would provide it. And we just thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his most precious, precious name. Amen. We just pray for the students, Father, and the teachers and those involved in the school districts, Father, whether it's driving bus, whatever it may be, Lord, and just lift them up as they face the adversities and the trials that they'll have at school and the routine that they'll need to develop, Lord. We're just praying in Jesus' name you would just allow them to be able to know that your presence is with them. And we just thank you, God, for each student and each teacher, and just pray your blessing upon them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, "And Jesus said to them, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I am so humbled by the way we cheerfully give week in and week out. We continue to see our mortgage balance reduce, and we're trusting the Lord that'll be at a zero balance by the end of the year, and we're praising him ahead of time. So thank you for your tithes and offerings this morning. We'll receive them and pray for them thereafter. Father God, we thank you for the gifts of your people. We know, Father, that you have a perfect plan for this church, a perfect plan for each of our lives. And we pray, Father, through our offerings that we would be a blessing to you, that we would serve you in the capacities that you have called us to serve. And we pray, Father, through these gifts that we would allow your kingdom to advance here on this earth. And we pray, Father, that each gift would be used according to your will and according to your perfect plan. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, the children, come join me up front. Recently, I was reading my Bible, and I read a verse that was a bit hard for me to understand. It said, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Well, I know we call the Bible the word of God, but I don't quite understand how we can put that in our heart. How do we hide something?
Behind a tree.
You hide it behind a tree. You put it out of view. Is that pretty good definition?
Mm-hmm.
If I take my Bible and lay it on my heart, does that mean it's out of view?
No,
it's still in plain sight. You can still see it. Now, if I hide it under my coat, can you still see it?
No.
That means it's out of view. It's hidden. I understand now you all know what it means to hide something, but how do you hide something in your heart? If I were to ask one of you to lay on the floor and I put the Bible on your chest, would that be hidden?
Yes.
No, it would still be laying there. What if we went to the doctor? Could the doctor put the Bible in our heart?
No.
Technically, he could, but I don't see how it would help us much. If we can't put the Bible in our heart, then what does this verse mean? How does God's word get into our heart? It gets there when we read and study the Bible every day until we know it by heart. Studies have shown that you must read, hear, or do something 6 times before it is in your head. So for that verse to get into our heart, should we try it? Read it 6 times and see if it gets into our heart? I want you guys to count it as I say it, okay? I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's 6 times. Is it in your heart now?
No, it was 5.
That was 6 times. So for this to get into our heart, we got to read it over and over. But I still don't understand the verse, but hey, we've got to memorize. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Help us to be faithful to read it and to keep it in our heart to be used each day. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Let's continue to pray. Father, we come now to your word. And we know, Father, that we attempt in every way to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin. But Father, we know that the world before us is very tempting. We know there's things that get in the way of being able to follow you. And Father, we're just praying in these next few moments you would still our hearts, open our minds to be able to conceive what it means to truly follow you, to not doubt what you have for us, to be able to believe and to be able to surrender, to know that your plans are before us. So Father, this morning we just ask you through your spirit to guide and to direct us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I'd like us to think about the last time that we doubted. Has anyone ever doubted anything before? We doubt a lot of things in life, like ever being truly happy or finding a successful job. We doubt someone really loves us or that our teens will ever grow up. It's a sense of uncertainty, not knowing if the thing is true or false. I've said many times I'll doubt I'll ever lose enough weight to be healthy. But friends, the more we tell ourselves something, the more we start to believe it. If we keep telling ourselves we'll never do it, or we just can't believe something, it becomes our truth. This is what makes parenting, this is what makes coaching so difficult. Whatever we feed into our children, they'll begin to accept it as their truth. It's all the more important for us, friends, to use uplifting and encouraging words. But what happens? What happens when we doubt our faith? We start questioning whether there actually is a God, or that our sins can actually be forgiven. And before we know it, we doubt whether salvation or the thought of being saved can really be true. The Bible in James 1, 6 and 8 likens this attitude to double-mindedness. You see, our beliefs are always changing. We never fully arrive at a determined conviction. And the danger resulting is a mind that struggles to be at peace. Now, how many of you this morning would love to experience peace in your life? If your hand's not raised, well, we won't tell you what you actually are, but we all long for peace in our lives. So think about it like this. There's a boat in the middle of a storm. And what's happening to that boat? It's rocking back and forth, back and forth. There's no hope of it finding rest. Hebrews 11:1 states that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So when our faith is healthy, we have assurance and conviction. Look at our passage from the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42. Last time we were in the book of Acts, we shared how Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, stood up and shared about these disciples who continued to share the news about Jesus. Just prior to our current verses, in verses 38 to 39, we remember these words. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And then in our current verses, 40 to 42, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, now listen to this, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that we would have that same kind of passion, that same kind of belief that these apostles had to share the good news. We know, Father, along life's journey, we will suffer disgrace for your name. May we count ourselves worthy. May you receive glory in all that we do, all that we say. Amen. Friends, if these apostles doubted for one second that Jesus wasn't the promised Messiah, do we honestly think they would have continued speaking Jesus' name? We cannot discount the fact that they've been put in prison time and time again, and the last time we were in these verses, they were threatened with death. Even now, they're being flogged or they're being beaten for what they believe in and what they are saying. Not to mention, check out what it said. These guys are thankful and rejoicing because of it. How many of you would go to that length in your life to fight for a particular cause to the point of being beaten and continue on doing so? Not many of us. So talk about conviction, talk about assurance. This is by far what we'd call being sold out to our beliefs. The apostles, and so should we, count it worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. When we're challenged, when we're treated differently, let us take hold of our verse and rejoice. This means, friends, the Messiah we proclaim is being seen in our lives. We are suffering for his name. This passage doesn't get any more genuine. It doesn't get any more authentic in what it means to follow the one who gave all. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand what Jesus actually did for us. You have to remember, he left his glory in heaven. He came to an earth that was filled with people who he knew would hate him and despise him, who would reject him. Disciples and followers that never really understood until this birth of the early church. And even more so, knowing that one day he'd end up on a cross dying for the sins of the people. But friends, the victory remains for our Savior who has conquered death and has risen. And though the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, attempting to deceive us, take us off of our foundation, we stand forgiven and filled with mercy and grace. Does anyone get excited about that this morning? And that, my friends, is the kind of love that we live out. Unconditional. Counted worthy as we share his name. What greater cause in our lives could there possibly be? Yet, we doubt, we question the realities of this Messiah. Some say he hasn't yet come. Others deny the entire Christian faith and follow what they want to believe. But these apostles knew what they knew. They witnessed firsthand the miracles, the death, the resurrection. When he arose, they saw his nail-pierced hands. They saw where the sword went into his side. They ate dinner with him. They talked with him. They served for a little while longer with him. It's all recorded. You can't do these things with a ghost or a figment of your imagination. Why would we waste our time following a faith that has no account of facts? Friends, it's for real. It's been proven over and over. It's not whether or not this could be true, and whether or not it's worth living our lives hoping it is. We need to live what we know. Jesus is alive. Heaven, my friends, is for real. Yet, at the same time, so is hell. Our belief, our faith, rests on the facts that Jesus Christ came as a baby born of a virgin. He performed many signs and wonders. He suffered and died on a cross. He was buried. And then, friends, on the third day, he did what? He rose. There's no mistaking these wonderful truths. However, there's a difference. There's a difference between those apostles living during the times of the early church and now. We're convinced of our faith's object, even though we have not seen the evidence with our own eyes. And that, my friends, is where the doubt settles in. We're very much a visual people. If you want to convince me of something, you need to show it to me. And friends, if we want to see Jesus, we should need to look no further than our neighbor sitting in the pew next to us. You're not going to change the way you live or act unless you truly believe.
We know who we were and who we are now as a result of our encounter with the risen Savior. For some, you've attended church your entire lives. The change was subtle, but still for others, it was a night and day difference. We don't simply change, we transform into the likeness of the one who saved us. Jesus simply says this: all believers must become like children in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And this faith differs more than we can even begin to conceptualize. Children are completely trusting, ready to receive whatever they ask for, without question, without fear. When a parent makes a promise, that child naturally believes it so. They don't worry whether the parent will follow through unless the parent has made a habit of not doing so. Friends, this too is Jesus' desire. He wants us to completely trust him with the heart of a child and without the skepticism of an adult. Perhaps you've seen it in your own life. The older we get, the more we start to question things. And so the question we ask this morning is, how do we stop doubting? How can we be counted worthy to bear his name? First and foremost, it's about that word, Dad. We call our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, are you ready for this? He gave the right to become children of God. Friends, we have been adopted into his family. Our Father in heaven desires, according to Matthew 7:11, to give good things to those who ask him. The absolute most comforting thing to know about our Father God is that he is completely, completely perfect. I want you to do something for me this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm not perfect. Praise God, we're not perfect. We have every single one of God's attributes as perfection. Next, I want you to consider this: who Jesus is. Jesus is the express revelation. It's what's come to pass of God himself. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus' trustworthiness was validated by the testimony of the Father and confirmed by the miracles he did. So friends, here's the bottom line. Say, tell me the bottom line, Pastor Matt. In order to stop doubting Jesus, in order to stop questioning our faith, we must constantly look at the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says this: fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I get an hallelujah? Amen. When we meditate on what Christ did as our Redeemer, we see how deep, we see how strong Jesus' love really is. If Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die a horrible death on our behalf, would he for one second withhold anything else that would be good for us? Think about it. John Ortberg in his book, Faith and Doubt, says it best. The natural mind tends to doubt and fear and question what the Bible says rather than simply believe. To overcome doubt, a follower of Christ must conditionally and continually seek God through Bible study and prayer. It's simple. We can't know what we haven't read. We can't know what we haven't studied. By all means, we make time such as this for a local body of believers like Little Swatara to be fed by what I trust is biblical preaching, and nothing, friends, compares to the fellowship we have with one another.
I get so excited to teach and to greet you every Sunday morning. I don't sleep Saturday nights. I live for this moment. This is the joy of my life. And friends, it's in this way, as Isaiah 26:3 says, the doubtful mind can and will become increasingly stable. Jesus focused and able. Are you ready for this? Say, give it to me, Pastor Matt. Find peace. May our Heavenly Father breathe a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon each one of you. May we each find total comfort in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Friends, there's no greater joy than to go into the world knowing that our God reigns and is in control despite anything happening in our lives right now. He is seated on the heavenly throne. Now we're about to sing a song. Is everyone ready to sing a song? I need you to get up on your feet. This song requires enthusiasm. Jeremy, you look like you were enthusiastic this morning, ready to sing, "We Shall Go Out with Joy." So please rise. We can clap our hands. We can make a joyful sound. It doesn't matter whether we can sing. The Lord loves to hear his people's praises. Let's go out with joy. Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be present in your situations you find yourselves in. Go out with joy, knowing through study and through reading his word, you can find total peace. Amen and amen.